Welcome to The Breeze Show, a part of Anchor.com, bringing you the latest and hottest news in music, sports, and entertainment. Here is your host, Armando Vasquez. Get ready for The Breeze.
Du möchtest deinen Podcast starten? Als wir unseren Podcast starteten, hatten wir einige Zweifel. Wie nehme ich eine Episode auf? Wie verteile ich sie in den sozialen Netzwerken? Wie verdiene ich Geld? Die Antwort ist einfach. Anchor ist der einzige Ort, den du brauchst, um einen Podcast aufzunehmen, zu hosten und zu verteilen. Und das Beste dabei ist, Anchor bietet das komplett kostenlos an. Sie bieten sogar Sponsoren, die ihre Marken in deinem Podcast wollen. Für diese Werbung werde ich schon bezahlt. Mach auch mit und trete bei Anchor bei. Besuche anchor.fm Start. Das ist anchor.fm Start. Wir warten auf deine besten Inhalte.
And we're back and better than ever. Thank you. Welcome to The Breeze. Today we're talking about the last day of an existence, hopefully. But we're tasting cheap liquor back in the new kitchen, where everything is started. Welcome to The Breeze. Thank you, Anchor. So tell me about this, what is it? This lacking of what? This liquor that you have right now?
Bone Hill View, man. Sorghum Shine.
Okay.
Oak finished. This is from Buckner, Missouri.
But it's gluten-free, you said.
Apparently, yes.
They got sorghum, it really technological over there, too.
Sorghum apparently is gluten-free, yes.
Okay.
If you need it.
So what's the writing on the back says? I'm curious.
There's nothing about gluten-free on here other than just a story of where their product started and how they settled there. So
it's a beautiful bottle.
Yeah, no, it's nice. Yeah.
It's got a cork. So for you guys listening out there,
heavy.
Thank you. It's got a cork in it. I mean, I tasted it. I didn't cause a reaction. Other than
you run out and buy like 50 gallons of it or anything, but it's good.
Well, it's not your favorite one, that's for sure.
No. It's probably a learned taste, right?
I know, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
But
I like it. Sorghum. And where is it made, you said?
Buckner, Missouri.
Buckner, Missouri. Where is that at? We're in Missouri right now. We're in Kansas
East City. East of Independence. So the old 24 highway towards...
I know exactly where that
Lexington.
Is.
Lexington, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's where these guys are at. We picked this up a couple months ago.
Do they make wine there, too?
No, not
there.
Because,
you know, Missouri is known for their wines nowadays. Did you know that?
Got a Herman.
Their heroin, their speed.
Herman and Herman.
Oh, did you say heroin or Herman?
Herman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said heroin.
Misunderstood.
I didn't know that Missouri produced that such thing. Okay, my bad. I'm going to take that off, okay?
Yeah,
we'll definitely get it away from that. It's great to be back in Kansas City here in Lee Summit. I never thought I'd say this, that I miss Lee Summit. But honest to God, I do. You know, it's not... to take anything away from Springfield, but if I recall what you told me before I left, you were absolutely 100% right.
Yeah.
And I thank you for that.
It's a good place to visit.
It's a good place to stay for about 10 days, you know, and then you get caught up in a whirlwind. You know what I mean?
For sure.
Yeah. It's kind of shady, too. It's very shady. Mm. Springfield is like the Walking Dead movie, remember?
Yeah.
When people were walking around going, brains. I want brains. It's sort of like that, you know?
It is.
Go ahead.
No, it's just trying to find itself. I mean, it's one of those areas where you've got people wanting to move there because it's cheap to live there, but on the other hand, you know, it's trying to grow. So, you know, they're caught between this reality of where they're at, you know. And
a whirlwind. It is a whirlwind.
Yeah. It just, you know, they're just slow to catch up a lot, like a lot of other communities in this country.
Not many good drivers there, also.
Yeah. You know, it just, you know, the cities, you know, they progress because there's tax money and they do that, you know, and so the cheapness of taxes and things that you see down in the southern part of the state, you're going to have that, you know, where the infrastructure is outrunning, you know, what's coming in. And how are you going to make that up? You know, so you can't really rely on the schools and everything because they're nonprofits and stuff. You know, they're trying to get kids in there.
Yes.
But, you know, how many kids that go to college in Springfield stick in Springfield?
Are you kidding me?
That's a good question, right?
And you know how much they pay in those apartments that are across the street from the university?
That's a temporary deal. I mean, you're looking at a 4-year grab and go. They get what they want.
Oh.
And move out. You know, I mean, those kids aren't going to stay there. Who's hiring?
Oh, you're talking about the kids, not the people that own those places.
Right. Who's hiring those kids?
No
that
one.
Come out of that college.
No. I'm going to tell you what. You know what's happening?
That would be a good question, Isaac. I mean, how many students...
That is a great question.
...that go to schools within Greene County, you know, and there's, what, 5-6 major colleges there? How many of them employ people?
5 at least.
How many employ people that graduate from those schools? I'm guessing it's probably less than 1%.
I'm trying to think about that because it truly is a fact.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying 10%, 12%, maybe 15%, maybe not. Not even that much.
I think you'd be lucky if it's 5.
You know, what I noticed? Oh, when I was actually looking at the world, trying to do something good, you know, before we get to this point, because I'm going to talk about that. I want to tell people. I don't care. You're cool. I'm going to be honest. We are here for a reason, and I'll tell you why, guys, later after the break, okay? Thank you, Ned. Thank you, everybody. It seems like to me, the kids seem to think that you have to get a master's degree to get a life. Yeah. I heard that a lot because I've been living in Springfield. And in case you guys just joined us, I'm talking to James Hicks, my best friend and Mushroom Magic Man. And it seems like kids just say that, you know? I gotta get a master's, I gotta get a master's. And you know what? My kids never did that, but they had ideas. And I'm not bragging about them, but I'm just saying, you know, hey, at least I don't hear from them. It's pretty cool.
I don't think a master's degree is necessary to
start I don't think out so either.
You know,
I don't think so.
I never started out that way. I went to school for 18 months, you know, associate degree. You know, and was able to get in on the ground floor of some things in the computer industry. You know, and that was just maybe good timing and foresight for the people that are coaching me on which way to go, right? But, you know, when I look back, I mean, yeah, computers have paid me a good amount of money. I made a good income with that. Is it what I want to do? No, probably not. But that's another story. You know, but kids nowadays, I mean, where is the the drive in the computer industry, right? I mean, granted, you got engineers and things, but a lot of this stuff is software. You know, I mean, it's code.
I mean, language.
You know, hardware is almost a... God, I hate to say it because I've been in it for 40 years, but it's almost like a commodity at this point. You know, we throw away things that we take for granted. You know, a toaster, a blender, a thing that we used to, you know, a microwave, a TV, things back in the day that we used to pay people to repair. You know, it's cheaper nowadays.
Everything goes to the trash. It's
cheaper nowadays to throw it away, you know.
And go get a new one for...
go get a new one for $300. Yeah. You know, it costs you $300 to get it repaired. So, you know, where are we at? Where are we going as far as, you know, people that do the technical work?
Why would I know? Why don't you tell me after the break?
Yeah.
Thank you, Anchor. You're listening to The Breeze with Vince Hicks. Welcome back to The Breeze with Mr. James Hicks.
An enlightening commentary on the state of the computer industry at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, Jim. I mean, we always talk about sports or hunting for deer and mushrooms and this and that. And right now we're actually talking about things that make sense, you know. What's going on? What is going on? So what's going on? Tell me. Continue on telling me. You had a great talk before we went on the break.
So we can find that train of thought there.
It's kind of difficult at times. Mm-hmm. Remember when I did my first podcast from here, and I was like, so how long you guys been married? I asked you guys, both of you, this question, and Stephanie's like, wait a minute, we just got married in October, and this wasn't like January maybe, or, you know, around that time. And I'm like, oh, so, that's right.
So I think what I was right talking there. About was the commoditizing of the computer industry and
that's right.
electronic components uh-huh. and consumers.
And how we throw everything away nowadays.
How it is, you know.
It's a lot easier to throw that coffee maker away.
Well, I'm talking the last, you know, 30 years. We went from a society of, like, being able to fix computers and, you know, do things, you know, down to a micro level to where we're now just trading out, you know, large components. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I mean, it makes sense, you know, from a nuts and bolts perspective. I mean, when you get into computer service, the object is to get the customer back in line as quickly as possible at whatever stake.
And
it makes sense to replace a known good component with a tested board than to try to sit there and replace a chip and unsolder it and resolder it, right? I mean, you send it back to the factory and then they do that.
Do you remember the days? I don't know exactly how old you are, if you want to reveal it or not, but do you remember the days when your TV will
had tubes in it?
Uh-huh.
Yes, absolutely.
VHF and UHF?
Yeah. I used to have a...
And you had the rabbit
on
ears?
The roof that we used to get, like, what, four stations and two of them were the same network.
Right, so. CBS, CBS, and NBC. That was
absolutely,
it.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, Johnny Carson.
Get on the roof and turn the antenna. Right?
You remember those days?
Yeah.
And remember when it broke down, that you used to take it down the street to the guy that repaired TVs and pay him $25 to get it fixed?
Yeah.
Whatever happened to those days?
That was the guy that got me in the computer industry. Was the guy that used
to
fix my TVs, yeah.
For real?
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Seriously.
Did I just say for real?
For real.
Okay.
Like a schoolgirl.
Are you serious? Like a little girl, dude. You know, the last time I said that to somebody, I got punched in the eye.
Sure.
So be careful, okay?
Yep. No, my uncle...
Having a casual conversation with Mr. James Hicks. This is The Breeze. Thanks, Anchor. Thanks, all the sponsors. And it's nice to be talking to you guys again. So anyhow, yeah. Yeah, be careful when you say those things, okay?
No. I had a very
A lot of people uncle. React differently.
Uncle that, you know, he was...
Are you a lefty or a righty?
Bilingual.
You are bilingual. I'm willing to say that you are bilingual just by the amount of hot peppers you eat. Just by that, it's enough.
I can speak Thai.
You can speak Thai, you can speak Chinese, Mexican, whatever. You can speak Chinese,
I know
you can
three speak words Japanese. Each language, and that's it. food, and bathroom.
One thing is for sure, we never say goodbye. We always say, see you later, my brother.
Aloha.
All the time, yeah. Stephanie, you have anything to add to the podcast today? No? She's not even going to say anything.
She's like, count me out.
Oh, my goodness. I'm in trouble.
What you do?
We're going to take a short break. And we'll be right back on The Breeze. Welcome back to The Breeze. We're going to close up this show today. Jim, if you don't mind, you know, since this is the last day of existence for me, just refreshing the glass, that will be great.
Oh, yeah.
And tell everybody again that just join us at The Breeze. What exactly are we putting in our system right now?
The Bone Hill Sorghum. Shine that needs to be aged about another 16 months.
You're in the wrong business.
Consumable.
You're in the wrong business.
I know. You asked for my honest opinion. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I'm honest. Good Lord.
Well, that's what we're here. That's what the show is about, is being honest.
If I was all in for a gluten-free hangover, sure. I'm going to go right down that road.
Have you ever had a Fresca?
A Fresca?
A Fresca.
Yes.
You know,
my earliest recollections of drinking alcohol.
No, a Fresca is not alcohol.
Involved Fresca.
Oh, you mix it with the Fresca?
Yeah. Now, I don't think it was the first time I got drunk, because according to my dad's buddies, that was with Seagram 7.
Oh.
And like Sprite.
I drink it with vodka.
Okay, well, I was 4. Okay. And then...
You... No wonder.
It's been a long road. That was 50 fucking years ago. I mean, my mom still got the table with the drill bit indention to prove it.
I don't even know what to say.
They got me loaded, and I went to work.
So you had Frescas when you were born?
So that was Seagram 7 and Sprite, right?
So it wasn't the real Fresca.
At age of like 4 or 5 years old.
I'm talking about a Fresca.
That was when I was like probably 8 or 9, maybe 10. Uh-huh. I had a little Fresca with some Canadian Club. Now you talk about a game changer.
Do you really want me to put this on the air?
Yeah, 10 years old, drinking Canadian Club and Fresca. I mean, I'm not talking like a full shot. I mean, it was a cap full, right? Which, everybody in the party is like, oh, look, little Joey's having a drink, or Jimmy, okay, it's called spade a spade, right? And, hey, you know, it's all good. 6 or 7 of those later, you're fucked up at 10 years old. I don't care who you are.
You know, I had my first...
It might have been 8.
I had my first taste of alcohol when I was 7 years old.
Yeah, well, I was way younger than that shit.
And I knew then...
Poison.
That I was in love.
Poison.
I was just in love.
It's poison.
It was a Tecate. My dad gave me a Tecate. Yeah. He bought me a Tecate.
My first beer south of the border was a Tecate.
Oh, good God, Marcus. I can edit that out too.
Yeah, my first beer south of the border. Whereas, first trip ever I mean, I was hell of a young man too, 12, right? As long as you could see over the bar, you could order a beer in Mexico at that time.
Oh, God.
I mean, they didn't even question it. I mean, we go in there with the family, and everybody's ordering drinks and daiquiris and stuff.
Yeah.
And Dad's like, what are you going to have? I'm going to have a beer. It could be a Tecate with a wedge of lime on it, can. Yeah, a little salt.
Yeah, a little bit of salt on top of it. Like, Los Tres Amigos.
I'm home.
Tecate.
And I was like 12 fucking years old, and I knew I was home.
It's unbelievable. That was the first thing.
I have a Mexican gene in me someplace.
That's the best thing I ever had. And then the next drink I had was my grandpa's Chivas Regal.
Yeah.
And after that, it was over.
Yeah. First beers, like I say, the first drink that everybody talks about was the Seagram's with, you know, the Sprite when I was a tender age. And then I can remember grabbing a can of like malt liquor when I was 5 or 6 years old.
Mickey's Big Mac.
I don't remember what they were.
Thanks to our sponsors, by the way, Anchor.
And then, you know, just various beer encounters, you know, mostly, like I said, my dad's buddy was law enforcement back in the day, but we used to go to this drive-thru liquor store, and they would pick up a couple of six packs of Ham's beer, and each six pack came with a little salt shaker. So my job was to open the cans of beer, apply salt to the rim, which resulted in foam, which got consumed by the bartender, which would me.
Just a little bit.
Foam mustache. And I passed them up to the driver and the passenger.
That's where we all start.
And that's how it went downhill from there.
Yeah. I used to be a bartender, you know.
Here we are.
You know, Jimmy and I have a long history on the hospitality service, so it seems like all of us here in this household have a lot in common. We know how to. You definitely.
It begins at rock bottom and it goes up from there, right?
Well, that's what they say, but you know, everybody's rock bottom is different.
It is, but it's not, because rock bottom is bottom.
You know, my coach. Not my coach. I haven't had a chance to tell this to anyone here at the Breeze. Thank you for joining us. Talking to my friend Jimmy Hicks. He passed this year. He was my best friend ever. His name was Rafael Carlos Suarez Olivares. We call him FAY. F-A-Y. You would have never thought. He was the toughest football player in my life. He will hit you so hard, it will kill you. He was a big Mexican as well. In case you didn't know, I was Mexican. So he will just run through you. And he became the coach of one of the biggest colleges in town.
Nice.
Eventually. After he coached the same team that he played for with me,
right,
for 10 years, yeah.
That's cool.
And he left us this year. He left us, he had a brain tumor. And he fought, he was a fighter, but he couldn't anymore. So, you know, so he left us. But I just want you to know that, because it's funny how those things happen to the wrong people.
Yeah, no. We have to be blessed with what we have, right? And so we have to be blessed that we have ways to continue and have the opportunity to do that, right? So we don't want to, like, think smallly upon that. You know, it sucks that people have lost this battle every day.
Man.
And we don't want to be a statistic.
No.
This whole thing.
No. Man. You know what? I love you guys. I love you very much. And thank you for allowing me to do my third season of The Breeze in the new kitchen, again, where everything started.
We just need to find a bigger mushroom for you to grab.
Good God Almighty. give me one of the good ones tonight. I don't care about those mushrooms right now. Thank you, Anchor. Thank you all.